Good evening. It's good to be back this evening. It's good to be together to study from God's Word. We studied this morning in answering the question, can we understand the Bible alike? There are many individuals who have already been convinced that we cannot understand the Bible alike. You may have had Bible discussions with individuals, and when you get done, there's at least two or more meanings about a particular Bible passage or a particular understanding of Scripture. They have been told, they've been convinced in one way or the other that they cannot understand the Bible alike. And as I said this morning, this lesson is not just an us versus them lesson. This lesson is for us as well. There are members of the church that do not understand the Bible alike. There are members of churches of Christ that do not understand the Bible alike on matters of worship and the work and organization of the church and marriage and divorce and a host of other things. And so this lesson is for all of us. Can we understand the Bible alike? And we noticed this morning that the answer to that question is yes, for three reasons. Because of the nature of God, because of the nature of Scripture, and because of the nature of mankind, we certainly can understand. And God expects us to and tells us in His Word that we must be understanding of His revelation. This evening, we want to look at why people don't. And when you examine the religious world, every day there are thousands, if not millions, who do not understand the Bible alike. Something is causing that. Something is causing a situation where people do not understand the Bible alike. And if it's not God, and if it's not His Word that's the problem, then the person left is us. And if the problem is not on God's end of the stick, or God's end of the equation, if you will, then the problem is on our end of the stick. And so we need to examine ourselves closely. There are those, as we noticed this morning, who are fine with not understanding the Bible alike. This certainly encourages ignorance. You know, ignorance is bliss. You know, you don't have to worry about anything. But we saw this morning where those who do not know God will be judged. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. There are those who attempt to justify false teachings this way. There are those who certainly attempt to justify division. So we have all of these churches, and as long as we love Jesus, then all these different divisions are fine. Different names and different doctrines and so forth, as long as we love Jesus. Well, we need to understand the Bible alike. But if we don't, then the problem is with mankind, and we want to look at some of those things this evening that cause that. But before we go there, I want us to consider that the problem is not understanding, the problem is misunderstanding. If you get two people together and they understand what God says, they will agree. If you get people together who misunderstand what God says, they will disagree. My point is that if they're disagreeing with each other, it's a problem of misunderstanding, not understanding. Understanding always brings unity. Understanding always brings agreement. So if there's disagreement between two people on what a Bible passage says, one or both are misunderstanding something, either a word or a phrase or something in that verse. And so when we talk about, well, can we understand the Bible alike? Well, first of all, if we can understand the Bible, we can understand it alike. And if we're understanding it, then there's going to be agreement. So if there's misunderstanding present, it's going to lead to disagreement. And so where does the misunderstanding come in? What causes that? Well, we're going to see this evening that it's caused by different attitudes and different approaches to the Bible. You know, why is it that we can understand our teacher? We can understand our parent? You know, we can understand our boss. We can understand a police officer and on down. Why is that? And not only that, but everybody in the room can understand the teacher. Everybody in the room can understand mom and dad, you see. Everybody at the workplace can understand what the boss just said. But when it comes to the Bible, all of a sudden, we can't understand that alike. Why is that? the problem is with us, and we don't want to see certain things in God's Word. And people just aren't being honest when they go about saying, well, you know, we just can't understand the Bible alike. And then they'll turn right around and in their daily affairs freely admit that we can understand those individuals. You mean to tell me we can understand a boss or a teacher or a parent, but we can't understand God, the Almighty Creator of the universe? And so we need to be honest and open about these kinds of things. We can. It's just we don't want to. And so I asked Brandon if he would look at John chapter 5 in our scripture reading. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. That's the problem. The problem is not on God's end, and I just don't understand what the Bible says. I don't want to come to Jesus. And you know what? If you keep reading, you'll find that they had been reading their Bibles, if you will. They had been reading Moses, but they did not want to believe and obey what was said. Look at verse 45. Think not that I came to accuse you. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? They had been doing all kinds of reading in Moses, but they did not accept what Moses said. And so this evening, then, I want us to look at this matter of why it is that we do not understand the Bible alike. What is happening is it's a matter of misunderstanding because of an attitude. If we can understand the Bible at all, we can understand it alike. Now, if there is a difference, it's because of misunderstanding. Now, look at this very closely. You don't understand the Bible differently. You misunderstand the Bible differently. And sometimes we don't stop and think about that. You'll hear somebody say, well, we just all understand the Bible differently. You can't do that. Because if you're truly understanding the Bible, it doesn't lead to differences. It leads to agreement. So the first thing that I'll tell folks is when they say, well, you know, we all understand the Bible differently. I'll say, well, friend, stop right there. We may misunderstand the Bible differently, but we don't understand it differently. True understanding always leads to unity and agreement. So either you're misunderstood or I'm misunderstood or both, but we don't understand the Bible differently. We misunderstand it differently. And so this evening, we're going to look at the attitudes and approaches that, yes, even we take from time to time. Again, it's not just an us versus them. It certainly goes on out there in the denominational world, but it also happens among the Lord's church. Attitudes and approaches that leads to misunderstanding the Bible differently. And we can have these things present in our own life if we're not careful. The first one, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, is that we've just got our eyes and ears closed. We've got our mind made up. And so, because our mind is made up based upon maybe how we've been taught or what we think or what we feel or what we've heard, based on all of those kinds of things, what's going on in our culture, whatever the case might be, our eyes and ears are closed. And so when truth comes along, we do not want to see that. In Jesus' teaching of the parable of the sower, Matthew 13 and verse 13, in parables I teach them because seeing, literally, they see not spiritually. And hearing, literally, they hear not spiritually. Neither do they understand. They don't understand, verse 13. Well, what's the cause of that, verse 14? What's the cause, verse 14 and verse 15? Verse 15, their heart is grown thick or hard. Their eyes are dull of hearing. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should understand or perceive with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn. Look at verse 15 and start at the end of the verse and work your way backward. You'll see why it is that people do what they do. Look at the last part of the verse. I don't want to be healed. I don't want to turn. I don't want to turn. That means to repent. That means to change. I don't want to turn and change, so I close my heart and ears and eyes,
And then I don't understand. It goes back to, I don't want to change. Jesus is speaking parables, and the apostles and others, to Jews at this time in this context. Chapter 13, verse 1. There were many Jews that did not want to turn and come to Christ. So how do you prevent yourself from making any changes? You just close your eyes, your ears, and your heart. And then, well, I don't understand what you're saying. We would say today that the person's mind is made up. And so with that attitude, we're not going to understand what God's Word says. And that kind of a person can be extremely religious at the very moment that they have a hard heart, dull ears, and closed eyes. This is not some no good, immoral person out here in the world. Jesus is talking about religious people here who have this thing. So let's not be blinded and fooled by the fact that, well, this friend of mine that I'm working with, they're extremely religious, so this must not apply to them. It applies to each and every one of us who have our eyes and ears and heart closed, you see, to the things that God has for us. And that goes on more than what we might realize or would like to admit. I've just got my mind made up. So we've got to keep our heart and our ears and our eyes open to truth. Another problem that comes in the area, especially of religion, is we just blindly follow what we've been taught. Again, turn with me just a couple of chapters over to Matthew chapter 15. And again, talking to religious people. These are not grossly immoral people out in the world. These are religious people now who have been taught by religious leaders. And we're just blindly following that. We assume it's truth. It almost sounds like Scripture. And we've grown up in such and such church, and the pastor or the reverend or the priest or whatever always taught it this way. And this is the way my mom and dad taught me. And, you know, it must be in the Bible and it must be truth. Well, it's not. And that's hard to accept. And that's a hard one to swallow. But we need to understand that that is a real possibility, that what has happened in my life is I have been blindly misled. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 3, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" And he gives an example of what they were doing there. But these Jews were raised with leaders, scribes and Pharisees, teaching them. And from their youth, they taught them. Verse 4, that if you do this, verse 4 and 5, this is what you're supposed to do if you have your parents and all that. They were blindly taught that. They accepted that. They went with that. They were okay with that. They thought it was religion. They thought it was right. In fact, look at verse 9. It's empty. "In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." It sounds like Bible. It sounds like truth, but it's just what man says. And that could be our parents doing that, our grandparents, our friends. It could be some religious creed book. I've had some Bible discussions before with some young people going to seminary. They're going to seminary. And we'll have Bible discussions about things. And they'll say, well, in such and such, you know, Westminster Confession of Faith, it says this. Well, that's a creed of men written back in the 1500s, but it's not the Word of God. Well, in such and such manual and such catechism, it says, well, you know, man has written that, you see. Are we just going to blindly follow what man has said about God's Word? And so look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said, or look at verse 12. The disciples said to Jesus, "Know you that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these things?" Yeah, people get pretty offended when you expose them for what they're really doing. Jesus exposed these Pharisees for teaching their precepts of men and making void the Word of God. That would pretty much upset a group. And then Jesus said to them, "Every plant," this religious body that we're talking about here, "which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Leave them alone, they are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the pit." Are we blindly following what we've been taught all through our life?
or are we actually looking at Scripture? Many do not see the Bible alike because they don't realize that this is working in the background. And brethren, we need to understand something, that when we sit down with a Bible between us, we need to understand this very important point, because you don't see it physically, but it's there and it's going on in the background. And that is, people are bringing baggage with them that they don't realize that they're bringing. We just think we're sitting down having a Bible study. Eric, from time to time, would like for me to talk with his religious friends that he has, and we just want to sit down and study the Bible. Well, there's a Bible there, and there's two people there, but there's a lot more going on there, and that is what I'm bringing to that. All of my baggage, all of my pre-understanding, all of my, the way I've been taught about such, what I've been taught about the Church of Christ. And they're going to bring up Acts 2:38, and here's what I'm supposed to say when they bring up Acts 2, and just all of that, that's all going on. And you know what? It doesn't just go on, you know, when we're talking with somebody else. It goes on among members of the church. And I've been in situations before where I thought it was always supposed to be this way. And in fact, each of us, if we're not careful, we can read what some preacher says. And some preacher wrote a book about such and such. I've done that before. When I was in college, me and other young men wanting to preach, we would go out and buy what the preachers would write. And we'd start reading those things. And that can be just as wrong as someone else, you know, reading what some man says. Because we trust. We trust that they're saying. And then I find out later, well, you know, that wasn't quite right. I'm speaking from personal experience when I tell you that it's easy to just follow something because you're just assuming that it's right. Or it could just be personal feelings and emotions. So when we sit down and have a Bible study, we don't maybe realize that what we're bringing to the table is all of that that has come before. And we just think, well, we're just trying to understand the Bible. Well, we're reading it. There's black words there on white paper, but there's all of this background, you see. And sometimes it keeps us from properly understanding the Word of God. And it might just be what I feel and think. And, you know, if I start to believe such and such, well, then my parents are going to be lost. And if I start to believe such, and Mo Hafley talked about this in his series of lessons. And he even said that if you were to ask your grandmother, they would tell you, go ahead and obey the truth. Remember when he brought that up? But, well, if I start understanding such and such about this verse, then that condemns my parents and my grandparents. And, you know, we can't have that. So then it must not mean that. Do you see what we've just done? You see? We have to come with open eyes and truly open ears and open eyes. And that's difficult and that's hard sometimes. But it must be done every time we open the Bible. Then there's some who just don't want to come to Jesus. In John chapter 5, you will not come to me, Jesus said. You do not have the love of God in yourselves. There are just some, and as religious as they may be, who just blatantly say, I will not accept such and such. I've heard people say that I wouldn't trade a stack of Bibles for what I believe in my heart. Well, okay now. Okay. Well, don't make that trade. That's fine. But you're going to have to live with that in the judgment day. I'm just not going to do such and such. Infidelity means unbelief. It doesn't mean you're an atheist. It means I'm not going to believe such and such. These Jews were not atheists. They did not believe Jesus. And it was just blatant. I don't want to come to Jesus. You will not come to me, Jesus said. In Acts chapter 7, in verse 51, Stephen, in preaching there, again to some Jews, he said, you resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers have done, so do you. You always resist the Holy Spirit. you see. There were some Jews on the day of Pentecost and other places who humbly accepted truth. They humbly, Saul of Tarsus was one and others. But then there were some that were so hardened and blatant. I don't want to see that. I've had studies with folks. You're sitting across the table with somebody and they'll make some comment about something. Where's it saying the Bible such and such? And I would open the Bible and I would push it over and they would do this. They'd just push it back. Well, you know. I don't see that. Well, you asked me for some Bible things. Why push it back? Well, I don't want that. So you're stiff-necked. Verse 51, notice how it goes back to the previous point. Stiff neck, here's my hardened heart, my closed eyes, my closed ears. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. Now look at verse 54. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Do you know that this is similar to the phrase in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when Peter got done preaching, it said they were pricked in the heart. Those 3,000 Jews were baptized. Do you know what these people did? They stoned Stephen. Now, one group got upset in their heart, and it moved them to obey. The other group got upset in their heart, and it moved them to kill the preacher. Maybe what it takes for you and maybe what it takes for me is to get really mad. Get really mad before you change. Now, when you get really mad and get really upset, you've got one of two things. You can use that being very upset to humbly come and change, or you can use that being very upset moment just to get harder and harder. Well, he made a reference earlier to my parents, and I'm mad now. He made a reference earlier to my grandparents. Now, I'm really mad. I'm really mad now. How dare he? Well, that's that moment where it's, first of all, it's not me. It's things that the Scripture is saying, and I can either use that in a good way or in a way that just pushes me farther and farther away. It just keeps putting off that day of making the change. But he's preaching to people that were just blatantly resisting. I just don't want anything to do with it. So here's what we do. We kill the preacher. Now, I don't know of anybody stoning the preacher today, but I do know of people, like I mentioned, just push the Bible away, or they'll say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to look at it. You know, I'm not going to look at that. And of course, we're not going to understand the Bible. Here's another problem. I've had people mention to me in trying to have a Bible study with them. They've actually said to me, Brother Reeves, you know, you're my brother, and he'll be some member of a denomination. You're my brother and I'm your brother. And look, at the end of this Bible discussion, we don't have to see this alike. We don't have to. Because all churches love Jesus. We're all going to heaven. In fact, division is just a different way of expressing what God wants for all of our lives. And we all worship Him in our own ways. In fact, God, I mean, didn't God create us to look differently? We have different hairstyles and body styles and so forth. And so this is just a way of showing God's beautiful creation and different things. And at the end of this discussion, Brother Reeves, we don't have to see this exactly alike, because you're bringing glory to God in the way you live and in your church, and I'm bringing glory to God in the way I live and in my church. And we all bring glory to God. So listen, we will never come to an understanding of the Scripture when we've already accepted that division is a good thing. It's not. In John chapter 17, turn with me there. As you're turning over to John chapter 17, Jesus died to build His church, not all of the denominations and names that you hear about today. You just have to accept that. I have to accept that.
and the modern denominations that exist today did not exist in the first century. We have to be on board with that. And if we're not, then we're just going to accept all divisions as being a part of the body of Christ, and we don't even feel like we have to come to an understanding together. But it's opposite of what Jesus prayed for. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also. This is people out in the world that believe on me through their word. Notice, first of all, that when the apostles, verse 19, went out and preached, notice verse 20, that it is possible to believe on Jesus through the words of the apostles. That right there tells you that you can understand the Bible. But even more so, verse 21, and that they all may be one, even as I and the Father are one, you see. It's contrary to the prayer of Christ. It's also contrary to the command of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we don't have to agree on these Bible verses because we've already been told that division is fine and good. And we've accepted that premise and we work from there. Speak the same things, verse 10, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind. Look at this, and this is even more difficult, and in the same judgment. Wow, now we have the same mind and the same judgment. So in a local congregation at Corinth, they had to understand God's word, but they also had to be the same in how they apply God's word. That's a far cry from what you see today. Today it's just all about division. So if I've already accepted the idea that all denominations make up the Church of Christ, contrary names, contrary doctrines, all of that, then I'm not going to want to see it like you see it. I don't have to at the end of the day. God accepts everything. Well, we need to get back to the unity that is found in the Word of God. Some just don't love truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn with me there. They love family more than what the Scripture says. They love friends more than what the Scripture says. They let family and friends dictate what they're going to do and how they're going to live and what they're going to believe. They're fearful of them. They're scared of them. They're scared of what they might say or do or think. And so we just don't love truth. The proverb writer says, buy the truth and sell it not. Yea, understanding. That needs to be our goal in life, is to search for that and love it more than anything. There are those who believe a lie, verse 9, with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And then verse 12, they believed not the truth. Look at verse 12. They believed not the truth. Verse 9, because they loved not the truth. How much do you really love God's word? On my father's side, my father's parents, my grandparents, were raised in the Baptist church. My great-grandparents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and even more so on my mother's side, were all Lutheran from Germany. Am I going to allow that to change what the Scripture teaches because of that? Well, if such and such, then all of them wouldn't be in heaven. I have to love truth. So I, like you, no doubt have a background where you could trace on both, you could do the genealogy on both sides of your family, and you could find people in denominations and different things. But that doesn't change what the Scripture teaches. I need to love truth. And I've mentioned, well, that's easy, Chris, because that is way back there somewhere. Well, what about today, my own personal family in the flesh, my brothers and one of my sisters? What about right now? I've got that going on.
So it is personal for me. It is difficult for me to stand and say, well, this is what a verse means, when it runs contrary right now in the present tense with some of my own family. But I have to love truth more than those family relationships. Jesus said that if we love them more than Him, we are not worthy of Him. We cannot love our mother and father more than Jesus. And in doing that, twist and turn and change what the Word of God says. We cannot do that. We have to love truth more than anything. Let's look at something else. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. A lot of times, people do not understand the Bible alike because what they're discussing, they don't realize what they're discussing is actually outside what the Bible says. They're discussing something that man has talked about or man has come up with. They actually think it might be Scripture. It kind of sounds like Scripture. But they're arguing about things that are outside what is revealed. They're arguing about opinions and using Paul's language, fables and endless genealogies which engender strife. All it does is stir up strife. What is all of that? It's outside the Bible. I've had Bible discussions with people where in the first 10, 15 minutes, you're actually talking about a verse, but then it evolves into something that after about an hour, it evolves into stuff about that's not even in the Bible. It's what's a part of their denomination or a part of this or that. And, well, we're having a Bible study. We're not having a Bible study anymore. Now we're studying about things outside the Bible, and we'll never agree on those things. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which minister questionings rather than a dispensation of God. Chapter 4 and verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside unto fables. Titus chapter 1 and verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. Are we talking about something that's actually in the book, chapter, and verse? Or are we talking about something that's not in there? You can get everybody to agree in Genesis chapter 3 that the situation there was fruit. You can get everybody to agree on that. You know why? Because it's in the Bible. But what kind of fruit? Now we're outside the Bible. There's not going to be any understanding. There was a bush in Exodus 3. Everybody understands that. Everybody agrees. Well, then what kind of a bush now? Well, we're not told. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. We can all understand that. But why did he come by night? Well, he was working. He was lazy. He didn't want to be seen with Jesus. You can come up with a bunch of other things. We're not told. Are we actually talking about something that's in the text? Or it's out of the text, but we actually think it's in the text? There were some brethren recently having heavy, heavy discussions on marriage and divorce. And a lot of the things that they were discussing weren't even in the text. Let's give a few illustrations. Take the mode of baptism. That is it sprinkling, pouring, like in the Lutheran Church, Catholics, others? Or is it immersion in water? Well, the word means to immerse. And Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he immersed him. He baptized him. Everybody is in agreement. Do you know that if you were to get a bunch of religious people together in Springfield, that everyone would agree that if you immersed someone, that would be fine. Everybody would agree with that. The disagreement is over things that aren't in the Scripture. Two other ways to do that: sprinkling and pouring. So when we're talking about things that aren't in the Scripture, there's all kinds of division and misunderstanding. If you just stick with what is in the Scripture, then there's agreement on that. Do you know that everybody in Springfield would be okay if the person who's baptized was old enough to hear and believe? Everybody would agree with that. That would be fine. Do you know where the disagreement comes? Over an infant baptism.
That's not in Scripture. What's in Scripture, everybody's fine with that. What's not in Scripture is where the disagreement comes and the misunderstanding, and we can't agree on. Well, it's because it's not in Scripture. The name of the church, instrumental music. There is not a person in Springfield. If I were a betting man, I would put my chips down on this one. And that is that everybody in Springfield will agree that if you want to come together and sing to God, you can sing your heart out. You know where the division is about? The instrument, not singing. Do you know why? Because singing is clearly mentioned in the New Testament. The instrument's not. And that's why there's misunderstanding and division, because we're talking about things that are outside of revealed truth. When you just stick with what's there and not add anything to it, we can all be in agreement on singing and one of the names of the church that is listed in the New Testament. We can all agree on that. It's those that aren't in there. There's not a person that was called a Lutheran, a Baptist, a Presbyterian. There's not a person in the New Testament that was called that. Ever. There's not a Christian in the New Testament that was ever called that. But if you pick one of these descriptions where they were called that, we can all agree on that. Do you know that in Antioch they were called Christians? There's not, if we're talking about Protestant denominations, I'm not talking about Muslims in Springfield, but just your standard Protestant denomination, everyone would say, I'm fine with being called a Christian. Everybody would say that. You know why? That one's in the text. But you go up to a Lutheran and ask him if he will call himself a Baptist, or you go up to a Baptist and ask him if he'll call himself a Catholic, he'll say, I'm not going to do that. You can agree on what's in the text. It's what's not in there that causes all of the misunderstandings and the problems. And it's just a basic fundamental thing. Let's look at something else. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. There are people who, they don't read their Bible much. Maybe they haven't been to church much. But you know what? They're an expert on the Bible. And they're going to tell you what this verse means and what this word means. Well, they don't want to admit it, and none of us likes to admit that we're not learned about a particular matter. None of us likes to say, on this particular subject, I just don't know much about it. Nobody likes that. But in fact, they're unlearned. And they're doing things with the Bible that are actually twisting Scripture. Some of the older versions say, rest, W-R-E-S-T, but it just means to twist. And it's the unlearned and ignorant, or unstable, some versions say, that twist the Scriptures. So at the very moment that you're talking with them, it could be me that's doing it. Could be them, it could be both of us. Here's a Bible. We are unlearned about what we're saying. We're saying something about a word or a phrase or something, and we really haven't learned that. But we're just saying something about that, and at the very moment, we're twisting what that verse says. Now, it could come because we're using different Bible study rules. Some of us try to keep things in context. We try to understand and interpret the original words. We try not to take a passage out of context. But not everybody follows those good Bible study rules. Some, the only rule is that when I open up and start reading, whatever I think and feel about that, that's what that means. Well, with different Bible study rules out on the table, there's not going to be any agreement. Some make no distinction, you know, where they're at. Anything from Genesis to Revelation is for us today. And so, you know, some are talking about, you know, the snake handlers out in East Tennessee. Well, just anything in the Bible, you know. Well, if we're not going to make any distinction between the Old and New Testament, if we're not going to make any distinction between what was going on in the New Testament church and today and just different things, then, yeah, we'll just be hopelessly confused. So we have to come to the Scriptures
in a learned state or wanting to learn the proper way to use those scriptures. Would we do that with any other instrument that is life-changing? Why do we do it with the Bible, but we wouldn't do that with a gun? We wouldn't do that with a gun. We wouldn't do that with a scalpel. We wouldn't do that with things that are life-altering and life-changing. So we're going to have a military. And we're not going to train them and get them to learn how to use their weapon. They don't have to learn anything about that weapon. They can just pick it up and go out there and just do anything with it. We're not going to teach them any way in order to handle that. And you know what? We're going to go down here to Vanderbilt. And we're just going to produce doctor after doctor. They don't have to learn anything. They don't have to learn the parts of the body and how to take that. They don't have to do anything. Just give them a diploma. Just go out there and do open heart surgery. They have to learn. They have to learn how to handle that scalpel. And that serviceman has to learn how to handle that machine gun. But when it comes to the Bible, we don't have to learn anything. It's amazing. I was talking with Sherry earlier that why is it that religion seems to be one of the few things in life today where just all rules are thrown out the window? We wouldn't do that kind of thing at work. We wouldn't do that kind of thing in a lot of areas of our life. But when it comes to religion, well, we hold that to a much lower standard. A much lower standard. You don't have to learn anything about the Bible. Just say whatever you want. And so when we do that, and we're approaching a particular verse, and we haven't learned some things, then just anything goes. And that's why we have just thousands and thousands of religions. It's not God. It's not God. It's not His Word. There is nothing absolutely wrong with any of this. It's all on our end of the equation where this misunderstanding comes in. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, turn with me to 2 John 9. There are so many people who are unwilling to stay within the revealed will of God. And it could be something as formal as a Mormon who says, you need the Bible plus the Book of Mormon. It could be something as formal as that. Or it could be something just as simple as, well, I go by the Bible and my feelings. But either way, it's something outside of the revelation of God. Whosoever, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter if it's the Mormon or if it's me. Whosoever, that's it. There's no distinction there. The Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness, me, a member of the Church of Christ, whosoever, and for whatever reason, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ, hath not God. I don't want to stay within the confines of this. And the Greek word goeth onward literally means to take the lead, to progress and take the lead. Here's the Bible over here, but no, I'm going to take the lead and go out this way and grab onto this or grab onto that. If we add to or take from God's Word, Revelation 22, we're going to be judged. Sometimes people think that they are having a Bible study with someone else when in fact what's being talked about is something outside of God's revelation. A couple of Mormons came by a few years ago here in Springfield and they wanted to know if I wanted to study with them. They came to the building. I said, I'd be glad to. I said, look, one thing. Would y'all be interested today in just studying the Bible? And they said, no. We want to talk with you about the Bible, but we also want to eventually get to the Book of Mormon. And I said, so you're not interested in just talking about the Bible? And they said, no, because we have to eventually get to the Book of Mormon. And I said, well, don't you realize that we would never be able to see eye to eye, because I just simply go by the Bible and you go by the Bible and something else. And they said, yeah, I mean, you've got a good point. Maybe we ought to go to another appointment. Maybe we ought to find somebody else. And I said, well, my door is open anytime you want to come back and study the Bible. But if it's going to be the Bible and something else, then there would be really no reason to do that, because we would never see that alike, because we're not going to stay within God's revelation. The other day, it was back in the summer, I guess, some Jehovah's Witness came by the house out there at Og Road, pulled around the driveway, and based upon the way they were dressed and carrying their Bibles, I pretty much knew who they were, and they came up, and a man came up, and he said, I want to share a booklet with you about the end times, and he didn't skip a beat. I didn't even was hardly able to introduce myself. By the way, that's how they're trained. When someone comes to you and all they want to do is talk, and they talk, and there's never a break, the reason they do that is that's a defense mechanism, because once they stop, then they have to listen to you. So they're trained to constantly talk and never take a break. So he just talked, and he went down through that, and then I've got another book over here, and then this matches up with this scripture, and you had a highlight. And as soon as he got done, I was about to say, well, can I talk with you? And he said, thank you, and have a good morning, and we need to be on our way. All I got was, hello. I said, hello. I stepped out to the end of the walkway there. Hello. We shook hands, and then he started in. And as soon as he got done, well, thank you, we've got to go. And I was like, what? And I let him go, because it would have been very awkward for me to say, come back here. You know, I'm not going to do that, but... So, we're going to talk about things that are outside the Bible. He had the Watchtower booklets and so forth. And then once the speech is over, we've got to go. That's how many, many people, thousands and millions, they've got it. This is it. I don't want to hear anything else. And I'm certainly not going to stay within the Bible, because I need other types of things to make my religion. And it's just unfortunate. But that's the nature of things. And so let's all understand. Yes, we can understand the Bible alike. We talked about those 22,000 Israelites. That's a lot of folks. They understood what Gideon said. God told them to say something. God told Gideon to say some things, and they understood it. 3,000 understood what Peter said. We certainly, 20 or 25 of us in this room, can understand what God says. And even more. Not only that, but he expects us to understand his word, and that's how we're going to be united. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take each of us having the right attitude. We can't have a hard heart. We can't blindly follow what our parents taught us or how we grew up in this church or that church. We can't just blatantly say no and push the Bible away. We can't accept division. Well, this church is fine, and this church is fine, and that church is fine. And we don't even have to agree on everything. We do kind of have to agree on Christ. We have to agree on that one. But everything after that, there really doesn't have to be. That's the wrong attitude. If I don't love the truth, if I'm trying to go outside the Bible and argue about things that aren't there, if I'm unlearned and I haven't learned how to keep things in context and do word studies and so forth, then there's just going to be hopeless division. We can understand the Bible alike. With the right attitude, we can. And not only can we, but this is what God wants for us, so that we can be right in the judgment day. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Often, the person understands clearly what the Bible says. It's just a matter of being pricked enough to get up and do it. I've had a few tell me that I still don't understand this particular point, and so we study some more. But often it's a matter of, I clearly understand it, I just don't want to do it. So we have to search our heart on those kinds of matters. But let's all have the right attitude, so that we can sit down and see the Bible alike. Is it confined to matters of the plan of salvation? No. Is it confined to just people out in denominations? No. Members of the church, we all have to practice these things, even as we sit down among ourselves here at Memorial Boulevard and other places. It's for all of us. We've got to have the right attitude. And then this morning we talked about those essentials that have to be in place, and we can understand the Bible alike. If we can encourage you to make your life right in some way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and sing?